This next story serves as proof that the Beatles told you a lie. Money can buy you love, or at least one man's idea of love. Paul Currington is a storyteller in Seattle, and he told this tale to a live audience at the storytelling series A Guide to Visitors. Don't worry, it's rated G, and I want to take kind of an unusual step here and say I just adore this story. Here it is.
A few years ago, a woman I loved very much and had been in a relationship with for a long time broke up with me. And she tried to make it easier on me, but she ended up actually making it worse. She said, "Paul, I'm so sorry. I should have left you years ago." Well, apparently I took that wrong, and I went into a big tailspin, and I really handled it wrong. I stopped eating. I stopped sleeping. So then I went completely the opposite way. I just started dating everyone. Any woman who would have me, I would go out with. And so, of course, I dated all the wrong women. I dated the world's angriest yoga teacher. I dated the vegan, bisexual, sober sex addict. And then I made the big mistake, the classic mistake. I got a crush on an old friend, and she lived out in the forest in a bus. She invited me over for dinner. I go out into the woods. I find her bus, and there are all these little creatures running around. And I pick up one of these little rabbits, little black and white rabbit, and I go, "Oh, I love rabbits. What's his name?" And she goes, "Oh, that's Jack." And I say, "Oh, by the way, what's for dinner?" She said, "Jack." And she took this creature I just formed feelings for, killed him, skinned him, quartered him, put him in a pot right in front of me. So I'm going home that night thinking, you know, I'm just not built for love. It's just not going to happen for me. And for whatever reason, it's not. So I started the tailspin again. I started the depression and the loneliness came up over me. And I didn't know what to do. And then one day, I was watching King 5 News. And they were interviewing this woman from Portland who was a professional cuddler. And I knew immediately, this is what I need. I'd never heard of such a thing, but it was all legit. It was all above board about touch therapy and making people feel loved. And before the interview is even over, I'm online at cuddleuptome.com, and I am booking an appointment. And 2 weeks later, I drive all the way down to Portland, and I find this place, and I get out of the car, I run up to the door, and as soon as I touch the door, I am overwhelmed with embarrassment. Am I really doing this? Am I going to pay someone to hold me? Has it come to this? Yes, it has. It has come to this. This is where we are at. So I walk in, and I see the lady from the interview, Samantha, at the front desk, and she says, "You must be our 3 o'clock. Can I give you a hug?" And I go, "It's on the house, I guess, you know." And she runs over and she gives me this big, full-body toddler hug, just like one of those, "Oh, my God." And she's a small woman. I'm like, "Oh, this is quite nice. I don't think I've ever been hugged like this. This is like really full-on." And then I hear this voice behind me, "Paul." And I look over and it's Heather, my cuddler. You see, when you book a session, you got to choose your cuddler. And they have 4 cuddlers, and they're all online. And I chose Heather because she had the best bio. They asked all the cuddlers all these different questions. They asked Heather, "What did you always want to be when you grew up?" And Heather said, "A pillow." Yes. Yes. And then they said, "If you could have a superpower, what would it be?" And Heather said, "I wish I had a magical mirror so everyone could see how beautiful they are." This is the person I need. Oh, my God. Yes. And Heather takes me in the back to kind of interview me and explain all the rules. And there are a lot of rules, obviously. There's no touching anywhere where a bathing suit would cover. No hands underneath the clothing, no kissing. You have to understand and accept that nothing is given with sexual intent. All kinds of rules. And I sign my name at the bottom of this thing. And then Heather gives me this little booklet. And I open it up. And she says, "What's your favorite position?" I go, "What?" And I look at this book. And it's all these color photographs of couples in these positions I've never seen in my life. It's just page. It's like the Cuddle Sutra. I'm such an amateur cuddler. I had no idea that this was, my God. I go, I don't know. I'm a little overwhelmed. And she said, you know what? Don't worry about it. We'll deal with that later. But then she starts asking me questions. She said, Paul, why are you here today? I just think this is where I need to be. And she said, okay, that's fine. And then she said, what would you like to get out of your session today? And I knew what the answer was. And I wanted to say, well, you know, all my life, there's this big hole right here in my chest. This big, big hole. I've never been able to fill it. And I've tried everything, and I don't know what to do. And I don't think I can go much longer like this. But you can't say that. So I started babbling again. I said, you know, I hope I just don't cry in the middle of this. I'm just going to go for that. And she leaned forward, and she took both of my hands. And she said, Paul, it's going to be okay. And she leads me into this room, and the lights are dim, and there's nice music playing, and there's a little twin bed in the corner. And I laid down on the bed, and Heather laid down next to me. She put her head on my shoulder, and she put her hand on my chest. And for the next hour, it was like a love letter from the universe. It was the closest I've ever come to unconditional love. I had never felt like that before. And all the rules that I thought might get in the way, I was actually grateful for, because I knew I was never going to see Heather outside that room. And so I knew I was never going to fall in love with Heather. And I knew that she was never going to fall in love with me. And most importantly, I was never going to disappoint her. Well, at the end of that hour, I sat up. I had no idea where I was. We had a couple minutes left. She said, Paul, would you like to play the I love you game? And I go, yeah, I'll play any game you want. I don't know. Whatever you want to do, I'll do. And the I love you game is this. You sit cross-legged on the bed facing each other, and you just say, I love you, back and forth for 2 minutes. Now, at first, it seemed kind of corny. It seemed silly. Heather said, Paul, I love you. And I said, Heather, I love you. And she said, Paul, I love you. I love you. But after about a minute, it really started to sink in. And by the end, it was really beautiful. It was just, I love you, I love you, I love you. And when I got up and I left the room, I could barely walk. I staggered back to my car, and I drove all the way back to Olympia, 2 hours. I didn't turn on the radio. I didn't turn on the phone. I didn't want anything to get between me and that feeling, man. And from then on, every month, I drove down to Portland and had another session with Heather. And every session was better than the last, just what I needed and what I'd been looking for. And that went on for about 6 months, until one day my son announced he needed a bunch of dental work, and I didn't have enough money for both. I had to choose between caps and cuddles, and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, can he chew on the other side of his mouth for a while? How can I, can we? No, but of course, I chose the kid, and he got his dental work, and then, but I couldn't go back. I didn't have any money. I knew what I needed, and I couldn't get it, man. It was right there. And the months went by, and I got lower and lower, and the loneliness and the depression set in. Until one night, it was a particularly bad night, when I realized I had only one thing left to do. So that night, I walked into my bedroom, and I turned off the lights, and I laid down on my bed, and I closed my eyes. And I put both hands on my chest, and I whispered to myself, I love you, I love you. I love you.